How many in this room have ever had prayers answered? Come on, let's see the show of hands. How many have some prayers that aren't yet answered? One more question. How many are glad some prayers didn't get answered? Throughout our Christian walk, we've heard, you've got to have more faith. You don't have answers to prayer because you don't have enough faith. You don't believe enough. How do we get through that? How do we get beyond that? We feel defeated at times because we don't feel we're able to faith it enough. Is this really what Jesus is after, or what is he really looking for? What I want to do is unpack some things this morning in a very simple fashion and hopefully share a couple of very sensible and very simple principles that might just change our walk with Jesus. Are you ready for that?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I want to begin with Mary Magdalene. John chapter 20. Mary is at the tomb. Jesus has been through the crucifixion, the horrific experience, the trauma to his body. Hearts are broken. The disciples have scattered. And literally, Mary Magdalene is there and her heart is broken. The Lord she has followed, who cast out seven devils from her, has been brutally tortured, beaten, and crucified and laid in a tomb. And now we have the most indignant act of all. Someone has literally stolen his body. He's missing. He's gone. Where is he? Now, normally I like to bring some culture perspective, some historical background, and I'll just do a little bit of that this morning. What I'm really after is heart-to-heart principles of faith, and the name of the message is called Faith Believing. Can you say that with me? Faith Believing. But a little culture for this background that might make this a little more vivid is Jewish people took at least the first 7 days of mourning so seriously after someone had died that they could not wash, they could not work, they could not have intercourse, or even study the law. Jewish culture was so serious about expressing rather than repressing grief. Now, when the body is missing and people are prevented from pouring out their grief and their final acts of love, that would be regarded as even intolerably tragic, much worse than even the normal death. Even tomb robbers would leave the body intact, usually, and leave the body behind. John 20, verses 11 through 14. And you won't find all the scriptures up here this morning because I'd like you to see it in your own Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we have some at the back of the room. Just simply raise your hand and others who are sitting around you can get a Bible if you would, Grace Christian Center folks. So John chapter 20, and I want to begin with verse 11. John 20, verse 11, and I'll be reading from the New King James. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they've taken away my Lord." Can you hear the passion and the heart cry in Mary as she says this? "You've taken away my Lord. I don't know where they've laid him." Now, when they had said this, or she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't know it was Jesus. Apparently, Mary Magdalene is the very first person to whom the resurrected Jesus appeared. The very first. Mary Magdalene. How many think that's really cool? Yeah. I just kind of love it when the Lord blows away everybody's perspective of what's supposed to happen legalistically. How many know that famous historians from the Jewish culture would not have written the story this way? That he shows up to a woman he casts seven devils out of her. But I love it. Jesus shows up first to Mary Magdalene. Now, I was reading a text by J. Vernon McGee, and J. Vernon McGee says, people wonder, why did he show up to Jesus first? He says, you know, you can find a proverb for almost anything. And he quoted Proverbs 8, verse 17, and I think I do have that up here. And he says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. I love it. She sought him. She was there early at the tomb. She wanted to see Jesus. But the question that needs to be asked is, why didn't she recognize him? Have you ever wondered that? Why didn't she recognize Jesus? Why? Probably, it's because she didn't expect to see Jesus alive. She expected to see the dead Lord. She had watched it happen, the trauma unfold, the beatings and the crucifixion. She'd been by the cross with a broken heart as the one who had delivered her, set her free and forgiven her, had come to a horrific death, being impaled upon wood. And then he dies and they lay him in a tomb. She didn't expect, she didn't believe that he was raised from the dead. Her faith, simple point, her faith is tied up with her expectancy. Her expectancy is bound up by what she has seen. How many know that God delights in doing miracles? Come on, punch each other in the arm and say, He wants to do one for you. But we limit God by what we see. We limit God by natural expectancy. After all, God can't do that, whatever that may be. God can't deliver me financially. God can't help me out of this. God can't heal me. It's all been announced and proclaimed. I have a short time to live. And God sits in the heavens and laughs at mockers and says, but I'm God and I can do anything. Don't limit your faith only by what you can see. Every eye up here, by what you can see. Don't limit God. Faith, believing. What does it mean? Mary, at this point, again, she's limited by what she's seen. She's seen the trauma. By the way, the Passover lamb, we spoke last week. I want to make sure I'm accurate for you. I talked about the Passover lamb being examined for 3 days. It's 4 days. The Passover lamb, of course, is examined for 4 days. Those of you who were kind enough to cover me in love last week, there you go. So now that's accurate. 4 days is the Passover lamb's examination, which is wonderful typology because Jesus, indeed, you follow through the pattern, and he was examined in the same ways. But why is she crying? Why is Mary crying? She wants to grieve expectantly and appropriately. The shock of the body missing is like a body blow. It's like a traumatic punch in the stomach. But she's there because she loves Jesus. He's given her so much. He's forgiven her of so much. She's the first one. He says, I'm going to appear to people that love me like that. How many in this room love Jesus like that? I want him. I need him. I don't want to move further without him. I need his forgiveness. He's been merciful to me. Jesus is everything to me. More important than life itself. I don't want to give up on Jesus. If they make it illegal to preach Jesus, guess what? We're still going to preach Jesus because we love this one who has so forgiven us and delivered us and set us free. Isn't he worthy of our prayers and our praise and our excitement? Come on, how many are excited about Jesus this morning? Feel like a Pentecostal preacher this morning. Oh, that's what I am. Oh, okay. Anyway, she's the first one to whom he appears. And Luke 7, 47, watch this. Luke 7, 47 out of a few different versions. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, say it with me, please, the same loves little. I want to say this point very gently, but it's very true. If you know a person bound up with legalism, there might be several reasons for their hardness of heart. But sometimes the reason for someone's legalism and hardness of heart is because they've never come in touch with the depth of their own sin and their need for mercy and forgiveness. Because when you understand how much you have been forgiven, how many in this room deserve forgiveness? I'm so glad you didn't raise your hand. None of us. None of us. But, yeah, hi, sweetheart. Yeah. When you understand how merciful God is. I really love having little kids in the church. I love it. When you understand how much you've been forgiven of and how much he's had mercy, all of a sudden your heart can be big with love and you give love away because you didn't deserve to be forgiven, and yet he's been merciful. That's the good news of Jesus, isn't it? The good news of Jesus. She loved much because she was forgiven of much, out of the NIV. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he has been forgiven little, loves little. Out of the Message. Impressive, isn't it? She was forgiven many, many sins. And so she's very, very grateful. If the forgiveness is minimal, the gratitude is minimal. He's the reason I sing. He's the reason I breathe. Jesus is everything. His grace is so amazing, isn't it? His grace is so amazing. But when did she recognize Jesus? Go to verse 15. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him, and these words are up here, supposing, but see it in your Bible, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him. I'll take him away." The passion, the love, how's she going to carry Jesus away? How's Mary Magdalene, unless she's a big brute and an oxen in strength, maybe she is, but that's not wisdom or natural understanding talking. That's love talking. Just give him back to me. What is she expecting? Not a Jesus who's alive. What's her expectancy? And her expectancy is limiting her vision. Jesus said to her, come on, say this word with me. Jesus said to her,
Mary.
Come on, say it again. Everybody boom it out. Jesus said to her,
Mary.
Mary. When did she recognize Jesus? The moment it got personal. The moment it got intimate and personal with this Lord that she loves so much, she recognized her name from the Lord she loved. Jesus said to her, Mary, she turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. Jesus said to her, don't cling to me, for I've not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to him, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things to her. When did she recognize him? When he called her by name, her whole world changed. Relationship. Friendship. Personal. Intimate relationship with the Jesus she loved. If you don't hear me say anything else and you've not yet given your life to the Lord, I'm not going to ask you to identify yourself. But if you don't hear me say anything else, please hear this. You can go to all sorts of philosophies and organizations, and usually there are initiation rites that you must do in order to join. If you want to go take college classes, you have to apply, sign up, and be accepted. But this relationship with Jesus is not a set of principles to which you must subscribe in order to become a Christian. This whole thing, all that we're about this morning, the reason we sing these songs is not about what you know, but it's about who you know. Jesus Christ, who loves you deeply, personally, and went to the cross for you. It is about relationship, and that's it. And then we keep growing, we learn all the rest. But you're not initiated into this walk with Jesus by what you know. It's by relationship with him. How many can say amen?
Amen?
Call me simple this morning. That's okay. But I don't hesitate to put you in remembrance of the things that are essential and true. Her expectancy drove a lack of vision. But when she heard her name from the one who loved her and had given so much to her, her whole world snapped around and her life was changed from that moment on. Because she saw him face to face.
Amen.
Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. Rabboni, that's a Hebrew word. And there's three levels of Rabboni, or Rabbi, if you will, in the Scriptures. Three levels. One is Rab, R-A-B, the Master. It's the lowest degree of honor given. The second one is Rabbi. You see that in the Scriptures. And it's my Master, a title of higher dignity. So Rab, Master, Rabbi, my Master, and then you have Rabboni, which Mary said, and it means my great Master. Don't you love that? My great Master. The most honorable word of all she could have used. And it's all about relationship. Now watch. John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear. NIV says, listen to. Message says, recognize. My sheep recognize, hear, and listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. So what's the key for Mary? When he literally spoke her name, she heard the great shepherd who knew her. Now, why couldn't she touch him? Why couldn't she cling to him? Let's talk a little bit about this, just for a quick couple of moments. Because a little later, he's meeting with his disciples, and he said, go ahead, touch me. What had happened? In between those times, many commentaries believe, and I fully agree and believe, that he then ascended to his Father, and he presented the blood he had shed to his Father God, and he turned a judgment seat throne into a throne of mercy, and now we have the mercy seat to which we come every day. Thank God for what Jesus did on the cross. So he presents the blood, and then he returns to us as the risen Savior. But what a glorious thing. Out of personal relationship, he just takes a side trip and shows up to Mary. How many believe the Lord knows you this morning? How many believe the Lord sees you this morning? He knows exactly what you're going through. Some of you, we don't know what you're going through. Some of you wake up in the night when no one's around with longings in your heart, and things that are deeply burdensome to you, and nobody else knows about them. But I'm here to tell you right now, Jesus knows them. And Jesus sees them. And He sees you, and He knows you. And He's calling you by name right now. Mary. Rabboni. My expectancy was a dead Jesus, and what I get out of love is a living Jesus who still knows my name. No matter what he's been through, he knows my name. Jesus. What a great Lord. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you'll call on me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I'll be found by you, says the Lord. I'll bring you back from your captivity. I'll gather you from the nations, from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. I'll bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Even, listen, you can talk about the difference between the Old Testament and the New. This is the Old Testament. This was just before the people of God, in their judgment, were going into Babylonian captivity. And God is still saying, listen, I love you. I'm here for you. You seek me with all your heart. You're going to find me, and I'm going to bring you back home again because I love you. That's a God who loves you this morning. I'm not going to try to get complex. I'm not going to share 56 points and principles from history. I'm just going to tell you this morning about Jesus, who loves you and gave everything for you. Somehow, there are some people in this room that in the Spirit of God, the Lord knows you need this message. And you need to remember that it's Jesus who loves you so much. He's speaking your name. Turn to each other and say, he's speaking your name right now. I'm going to skip the next section, Pat, and let's go to point number three, faith believing. Faith believing. If you want faith believing, how do we get faith believing? Faith believing, you come to Jesus. It's not about his stuff. It's about Jesus. Let me tell you a real simple story. It's not about his stuff. See, we make prayer so complex. And you know why? Because we're seeking the stuff. We want the answer, the answer, the answer. And Jesus said, what you need is to come see me. Me. It's all about him. Because then when we seek him and love him and express him, guess what? He puts into our hearts those things that are on his heart. And the scripture tells us he gives us the desires of our heart. It's all about him. So it's not seeking the hand, it's seeking him. Sherry has a dog named Yummy. How many have ever met Yummy? Yeah. Great little dog. Love that little dog named Yummy. Some of you know I had a couple little dogs for a while, and when I got those little dogs, I brought them over to Carl and Sherry so they could see him. Oh my goodness, Yummy wouldn't even look at me. I knew Yummy from the time Yummy was a little baby, and Yummy would crawl up on my lap. She goes, oh, you're everything. The problem is, anybody else would come over to the house, she'd crawl up on their lap and go, oh, you're everything. I'm like, wait a minute. So Yummy was like that and is like that. She crawls up in your lap. She looks right in your eyes. And she'll try to lick you to death if you let her, and so you don't want to do that. But nevertheless, so when she's mad, I always know when Yummy's mad. You know how I know? She won't look in my eye. I could pay her $100. Means nothing to her. So, you know, it's one of those things, you pull her face around. She will not look in your eyes. But when it comes feeding time, I'm the best buddy in the world. And she's looking at me like this. And Yummy's taken to doing something. Lately, she's got a whole new routine. She doesn't just whine. She doesn't whine real loud. But she doesn't just whine when she's something. She comes right up to you, looks right at you. And then if she really wants and you don't answer, she starts to shake. Oh. It's very attractive. But when there's relationship, she looks right in your eye. Jesus is saying, I know you have stuff on your hearts. I know you have needs. I know you have health issues. I know you have financial issues. I know you've got all sorts of things that are burdening your heart. And I see them. I hear them. But you know what I want from you? It's not just to hear about the stuff. Look me in the eye. Come be with me. Because I'm going to take care of you. Now watch, I'm going to finish this message with a section of scripture, and I want you to see the whole context of the answer to prayer when we go to God. The whole context, and I want you to tell me what the context is. Pat, if you'd go to that section of scripture from John, or Luke, or Matthew. Okay, it's Matthew. Let's see. Matthew 18 says, again, I say to you, well, this isn't it, but it's a good verse. If two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it'll be done for them, for my Father in heaven. How many believe that's important? That's good. So the points that are important, if you want answers to prayer, see Jesus face to face and then agree with someone else in prayer. One of the most beautiful things I heard were the testimonies after being with Brad, and people came up and shared their promises and posted them on the board. And everybody in the church was, wow, I know what's in your heart, and we pray for each other. So agreeing prayers. Number two, there's compassionate prayers. And remember when the man in this scripture, the master, the servant, is moved with compassion. This guy owes him a lot of money. He can't pay up, and he begs for mercy. And so the master has compassion and forgives him, right? Forgives him his debt. And then remember how the story continues? That guy goes out, finds somebody that owes him money, and nearly beats him up and throws him in jail. And when the master hears about that, he takes this guy and puts him in debtor's prison. If you refuse compassion towards someone else in need, the Lord will see to it your prayers are all bound up and you won't find answers to prayer, which also leads you to point number three, forgiving prayers. My Heavenly Father will also do to each of you from His heart if you don't forgive your brother his trespasses. Guys, you know, the Lord wants us to be right with one another, and you do everything you can to make it right. But if they won't get right with you and you've tried, then you have to leave that in the hands of the Lord and go forward and trust Him for it. And then what do you need to do? Forgive. Forgive. Because how many want bound up prayers? No. So keep a clear heart, keep mercy, and keep forgiveness. Now we're going to go to the scripture from Luke. My fault, Pat. From Luke, I want you to see how God answers prayer. What's the context? A scripture just before this section talks about knocking and the importunity and continuing to seek the Lord. But then out of the message is where I'm reading this. Here's what I'm saying, Jesus says. Ask and you'll get. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will open. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your little boy asks for a serving of fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? If your little girl asks for an egg, do you trick her with a spider? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. And don't you think the Father who conceived you in love will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? How many can tell me what the context is for Jesus teaching people how He will delight in answering prayers? What's the context?
Be fair.
Be fair? Okay, good. What's the picture? How does He hang this principle in a picture that everybody can grasp? What is it?
Relationship.
A dad to his daughter or to his son. And in that most basic of relationships, how many in this room love your children? If they come to you and ask questions or ask for something and you can at all help them, how many usually help them? And God is saying, as we complete this thought in faith believing, it's not, how do I get there, Lord? How do I get my prayers answered? And I just don't have enough faith, and I just don't have what it takes. I can't seem to produce it. And Jesus stops us and says, look to me face to face. And He speaks your name and He says, come to me. It's all about relationship. You're my son. You're my daughter. It's not my stuff. It's me that I want to give you. And then it's not hard to come up with faith believing. Would you stand with me, please? We are glad that you're here. If you're a guest with us this morning, we welcome you back anytime. And we delight in Jesus and hope that you'll enjoy coming back to delight in Him with us. Father, we thank You for Your grace to us, Your mercy to us, and for the depth of relationship that You call us to. Thank You for forgiving us, for having mercy on us, for giving us new beginnings, Lord, a future and a hope. And it's all based in this precious relationship with You, not Your stuff, but You. We love You, Lord, and we thank You for this day in Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, I urge you to come and give your life to Him. If you need healing in your body, there'll be a team of people right over to my right, and they'll be there to pray for you. If you need other things, come on up, make that need known. But we love you, and we bless you in the name of the Lord. Lord, I pray Your blessing on Your people as they go from this place today, that they go strengthened in their spirit, in their soul, and in their body, knowing how much You love them. Bless them now in Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
God bless you. Be released. Have a fantastic day in the Lord.